Trent Daugherty, Mickey Ryan, and Don Davenport. This is the 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone.
Welcome in 3HL, powered by the Tennessee Lottery. 4 o'clock hour is here. Efforting Jesse Simonton from BallQuest, who stood to join us to talk about University of Tennessee's football hall for today's signing day. Two guys, but man, two very interesting, very athletic young men, and Malachi Wideman and D. Beckwith.
Yeah, D. Beckwith, whom his coach in Florence, Alabama, said to Jesse Simonton of BallQuest.com, who will join us shortly, he's the freakiest athlete I've ever coached in 20 years. He's a 4-star athlete, also chose Tennessee over Florida, could play basketball as well. He had basketball offers at Tennessee and Florida, too. He's 6'5", 215 pounds. Listed at 6'4", I heard T. Martin in the Tennessee propaganda piece call him a 6'5 wide receiver. He'll start out in the wide receiver room, play quarterback in high school. And Malachi Wideman, who's an absolute freak. Jesse Simonton joins us now to talk about these two kids and more. Jesse, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How y'all doing?
You know, it's funny. Everybody downplays National Signing Day now after the early signing period deal, but a huge day for Jeremy Pruitt and, strangely enough, Rick Barnes.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is, I mean, Tennessee landed both of their key targets today, going 2 for 2. The pool is obviously much shallower in January. So Tennessee, you know, with the Jay Hardy saga, that gets eliminated, you know, earlier this month. So they really were only down to 3 main guys, and they, you know, 2 of them come off the board today. We'll see what happens with the craziness surrounding Zach Evans. But to add 2 more playmakers to this class, those were 2 guys of need. You know, when you look at what Tennessee lost in terms of the wide receiver production from Marquez Callaway and Juwan Jennings, both of these guys have tremendous upside. You know, D. Beckwith is kind of a versatile hybrid kind of playmaker, can play some flex tight end, even split out wide, H-back. You know, he's a guy that Will Hester told me, his football coach, that he's the best freakish, most freakish athlete he's coached in 20 years. Nice basketball prospect as well. And then Malachi really puts, I think, the freak in terms of freakish. You watch his highlights. I mean, he's a guy that's impressed Dwayne Wade and LeBron James with some of his dunks on the basketball court. Scored 13 touchdowns as a senior this year on the gridiron. Explosive 6'5". Already, I think, is going to, you know, immediately be kind of a red zone matchup nightmare, which is something that Tennessee frankly needs because that was an area of issues this past season. And then how these guys can kind of develop, there's going to be playing time to be had, guys. And I think that's why Tennessee was able to sign, you know, as Jeremy Pruitt said just about an hour ago, one of the best receiving groups this cycle. Because when you add these two guys with Jalen Hyatt and Jimmy Callaway, it's a nice group. And with all the production that's been lost, they're going to need 1 or 2 of these guys, I think, you know, to be ready on day one next season.
It was interesting to hear D. Beckwith. I heard several different interviews with him. And, you know, when he was asked about Tennessee, he mentioned his brother, but family members and friends. And, I mean, he sounds like a guy who's very comfortable with University of Tennessee, you know, to the point that you'd think, gosh, did he ever consider going anywhere else? Because it sounds like he knows half the people on campus already.
Yeah, I do actually think, Mickey, that this was a much tighter deal, you know, about a month ago. You know, he was even pretty open about how much he liked Florida. But in the end, his ties at Tennessee, Lamonte Turner being his, you know, cousin, the fact that his half-brother, Cameron Beckwith, was already a commitment to be a preferred walk-on here. All the other people he knows, kind of some other friends that have ties here, I think that helped. And what really helped and ultimately sold him on the walls for this final decision was 2 weeks ago when, you know, he had his official visit, or 10 days ago he had his official visit, and then he had the final in-home visit, and kind of the plan that Jim Chaney and T. Martin and Will Friend kind of packaged together on how they plan on using D, I think, really sold him and his family. And ultimately, that's why Tennessee ended up winning that recruitment over Florida.
Jesse Simonton, our guest. Jesse, now that the early signing period is done, today is done, where are the Vols sitting pretty on this roster as a whole? Where maybe are they still going to struggle with depth and or talent on this roster?
Well, I think they did a nice job this last dawn addressing needs, as you know, just talking about leading off here at the wide receiver position. Tennessee is going to enter the spring with probably the deepest quarterback room, maybe in the country. I mean, there are very few programs are going to have five guys. And I think it's a good news, bad news sort of thing for the Vols, because how do you split reps between these guys? Part of the reason they got Jimmy Holiday and beat out TCU and some others from him is because they promised him a legitimate opportunity to play quarterback. So he is going to get real reps this spring. Harrison Bailey's on campus. You know, he's a five-star that a lot of folks are already anointing as kind of the next one and the JG's heir apparent. But then that leaves, you know, Brian Maurer, who got a taste last year, JT Trout, who got a taste. That room is not going to look the same at the end of spring as it does the start. I'm fairly confident in that. But how that dynamic plays out will be interesting to watch. And I also think, you know, if we're looking specifically at where this roster still is a tad deficient, while I think the offensive line is, especially with the transfer of Cade Mays, Wanya is going to be out for spring. He's dinged up. Austin Price just had that story at VolQuest. But the offensive line, I think, is expected to be a strength. Same for the defensive line that returns everybody and adds Emmett Gooden. But who's going to rush the passer on this team? You lose Daryl Taylor. Yeah. They were unable to really sign a blue chipper at that spot. I think they like Morvin Joseph, kid from South Florida who signed in December. But B.J. Ojulari, the former commit, he ends up at LSU. They didn't get traction with some other guys that ended up elsewhere in the SEC. So it's going to be paramount for this team, I think, that Kayvon Bennett, you know, really builds on what he did last season, but becomes even better and more productive. And can Roman Harrison be more than just a spot player? Where does Quavarius Crouch play? Is it inside or outside? They need a couple of guys, I think, to kind of make a leap, or else, you know, getting to the quarterback, I think, could be an issue in 2020.
Jesse Simonton with us, VolQuest.com. Your chance at $1,000 coming up in about 5 minutes. Stay tuned for that. Jesse, in terms of Malachi Wideman, 6 foot, 490 pounds, a four-star player in basketball and football. We've kind of put his tape out there. A lot of people have. In terms of freakish athletes, this guy is up there. Legit chance, obviously, to play basketball for him, but also D. Beckwith?
Yeah, so both of them will, and Jeremy kind of talked about that, and I think that's another reason both these guys ended up choosing Tennessee, was there is a real opportunity for them to at least get a chance. Now, football is going to be the priority. That is what they're on scholarship for. But, you know, Tennessee's got several guys running track right now that are on football scholarship. I think it's easier to kind of do the football-baseball thing. But they'll have an opportunity. Malachi is a more well-regarded basketball prospect compared to D. Beckwith. You know, he had some legitimate D1 offers there as well. And again, his highlight tape is fairly ridiculous with as bouncy as he is. But both those guys will have a chance to play for Rick Barnes, and we'll see what kind of role they're able to carve out on that team. It is rather remarkable that Tennessee was even able to kind of get Malachi, only because he was all but set to go to Florida State. And it just kind of shows you the domino effect of the way the early signing period plays out, that then let some of these other schools kind of get in the mix. You know, if Willie Taggart's still in Tallahassee, Malachi Wideman's playing for the Seminoles. But the fact that, you know, that relationship ended, Chris Winkie did a nice job for the Vols, kind of staying in the mix, you know, keeping Tennessee warm. That, I think that's going to be one of the themes when you look back on this class. The coaches for Tennessee, whether it was David Johnson with the guys at Memphis, and now how Tennessee was able to land Wideman and D. Beckwith late, you know, keeping guys warm that maybe either weren't ready to kind of get in the boat or were looking elsewhere, but Tennessee was able to kind of really build and capitalize on longstanding relationships, and that's why they went 2 for 2, you know, on National Signing Day.
Some coaching movement today. Jay Graham a couple of days ago. Kind of walk us through those moves.
Yeah, the Jay Graham stuff, I think, you know, he had long been, you know, kind of target number one for Tennessee and Jeremy Pruitt. You know, financially it was going to be, all right, what is Tennessee's salary pool going to be? When Kevin Scherer got the linebackers coach for the New York Giants, that removed, you know, a big $700,000 check from the salary pool. So Tennessee was able to, hey, we're going to actually pony up for a running back coach. Jay gets $575 to come home. And it's honestly, guys, I think it's just a move that makes sense. There's obviously nostalgia for kind of bringing back a former Vol. But I think much more importantly, in my opinion, I wrote a column on this, I think is the fact that Jay has worked at Tennessee before. Not necessarily played, that's nice, but it's that he's worked at Tennessee before. He understands kind of recruiting in this area. He's kind of worked his way up too. UT Martin, Chattanooga, before he ever even came to Knoxville. And he's then has then, you know, since then been able to broaden his horizons going to Florida State and Texas A&M. He's a guy that Tennessee, when it's, you know, you guys know this as well as anyone, when Tennessee was Tennessee, they did a really nice job recruiting the Carolinas and going up in the Tidewater and Virginia area. That is Jay Graham's, you know, fertile stomping grounds. He was an All-American at Concord. He has long-standing ties throughout that area and across the state. So Tennessee's going to really look to make a move, you know, back into the Carolinas. Clemson, Georgia, even South Carolina has done a nice job kind of building fences around those states thus far the last few years. So the Jay Graham move made sense. He's developed a lot of prospects from Carlos Williams at Florida State, you know, a lesser known guy, to obviously Dalvin Cook and then Trevion Williams last season at Texas A&M. Joe Ossivet earned his promotion to tight ends coach. He's been a QC guy the last two seasons. You know, a lot of folks wrote about him 2 years ago with some of the early innovation stuff that he was doing with the RPO game. Up in the junior college in Brooklyn, the ASA. So he's worked his way on the staff. I think part of the reason there, guys, is kind of his connection and kind of doggedness on the recruiting trail with the underclassmen. And so he's probably Tennessee's best shot, has the best relationship with Christian Ballou, one of their top 2021 targets. So he will now be able to even really go out on the road to kind of continue to build that and kind of continue to develop as a coach. And Jeremy, as he said tonight, has long stated that Brian Niedermeyer could coach a variety of positions. He started his career as a defensive GA, so he goes back to inside linebackers. This will only kind of help his marketability as an assistant coach as he kind of continues to move up the ladder.
Jesse, great stuff, man. I know it's a busy day, and always appreciate you checking in with us at Jesse R.E. Simonton, or, of course, always at volquest.com. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, man. Thank you, guys.
Yes, sir. Your chance to win $1,000 now.